Welcome to the Australian CISO, a podcast for current and aspiring CISOs and anyone who has an interest in cybersecurity. My name is Richard. All opinions expressed on this podcast are either my own or those of the people being interviewed. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of the companies that I or the interviewees are employed by. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 34 of the Australian CISO podcast. Today is Saturday, September 9, 2023. I've just got home from day one of B-Sides Melbourne 2023, hosted by SEEK in Cremorne, Victoria, and I've got to say, I am very impressed. First impressions, it was pretty chilled, so not the usual vibe you get from your usual security conference. No one walking around saying I'm the CISO of this company or that company, or I'm the greatest gift to the cyberspace. And certainly a lot of diversity clearly on display. It really was a very accepting community I witnessed earlier today. Interestingly enough, I only saw a handful of people I knew. So hi again to Austin, Daisy, Richard, Nigel, Brett, Lucas, Kristen, and Ian, who I met in the coffee line. And we just had a good old chat about everything infrastructure and perhaps one or two other topics. Not seeing a lot of familiar faces is actually a good thing. If you want to improve your cyber skills and thoughts, especially your thoughts, it is better to get a diverse viewpoint instead of being stuck in our comfort zone of what you know already. Being rigid on a roller coaster may be the way to go, but not in our space of cybersecurity. You really need to listen and consider all sides of people's thoughts, knowledge, and experience. I got to interview a few people today, which was great. You'll hear one of those interviews now. It is with Lucas G. In fact, Lucas, I'm going to attempt to pronounce your surname. I'm never good at pronouncing last names, so here goes. Lucas Gogolkovits was one of the first people to be interviewed, and being one of the organisers, I thought it was best to include that interview first. And in later episodes, I will include interviews I did with other attendees. You know who you are. Here's the interview with Lucas. I can honestly say we did not have any preset questions. And aligning with the vibe of B-Sides Melbourne 2023, we just went with the flow. And as a result, here is the full unedited version of the interview. If it does contain some ums and ahs, hello to the Toastmasters who may be listening, then, well, that's just the way the interview went. Oh, if anyone is attending B-Sides tomorrow and they want to be interviewed, then just ask one of the organisers, the people in the blue shirts, or someone. They may be able to direct you in my direction. I did a few interviews in one of the rooms where the lockpicking was taking place. Yes, non-cyber people, you didn't hear incorrectly. It was the lockpicking area. So if I interview more people, it'll be more than likely in that room near the lockpicking area. I'll just add that I was using very primitive recording tools today. So please note that the audio in this podcast is not 100%. Next time, I'll definitely shut the door instead of leaving it open so you could hear all the surrounding activity. You live and learn. With that, let's hear what Lucas G had to say today about all things B-Sides. Well, I'm at B-Sides in Melbourne at the SEEK building, and I'm here with one of the organisers, Lucas. Hi, Lucas. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
I am very well, and I must say B-Sides Melbourne 2023 is very impressive and very different from any other security conference I've been at. Is that the intention of a B-Sides, and can you tell us more about B-Sides?
Absolutely. So B-Sides, specifically Melbourne, what we try to do is target anyone trying to get into the industry or trying to pivot, you know, within the industry. So, you know, moving laterally from a defender to an attacker or vice versa. You have many B-Sides around the country with each of their own little kind of flavor or approach to type of, you know, security. So for example, B-Sides Brisbane's a fantastic conference, and I know the organizers of that one quite well. And they typically target things like hardware hacking and so on. B-Sides Sydney is very targeted at defensive and blue team types of things. Whereas, you know, B-Sides Melbourne, we try to aim to get students involved and learn.
Okay. Yeah, I'd never been to a B-Sides before, and all I really knew about it, it just sounded all a bit too technical to me. But I've got to say today, I've seen such a diverse range of topics. I've seen
how to physically break into a place if you want to, but that's obviously for an organization wanting to ensure that their physical security is okay. So I've seen that. I've seen talks on MFA, which was pretty much MFA and business email compromise. It's pretty much what we live and breathe every day. And I've seen other talks, which is just amazing to me. It is so different from any other conference. How I heard someone talk today saying that this B-side started in America. Is that right? Or
yeah, so there's a fellow by the name of Jack Daniel who kind of really created it all. And he kind of spread the word and went around US, Europe, Australasia. So it's pretty much everywhere. I think it's in the, don't quote me on this, in about 60 or so plus countries now. We have B-sides, Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, Gold Coast, and Brisbane. So I think we're only missing B-sides Tasmania and Northern Territory at this point.
Okay, well, if anyone's in Tasmania or Northern Territory and wants to start up a B-sides, that'd be great. With our friend who started up B-sides, Jack Daniel, you said? Yep, sounds like a drink. But anyway, why did he start it up? I mean, there would have been 1,001 conferences for security in America that he would have seen. What was he trying to create, do you know?
A really type of community type of event. So you'll have a look at your very large conferences. You have your Black Hats, you have your Cyber Cons, and they're more aimed at industry. So, you know, you navigate around the vendors and have a chat with them around what their latest products and offerings are. And as any kind of cybersecurity leader in the space, you almost need to have those conversations just to see what tools are out there to help solve your problem. Whereas the B-Sides, if you want to call it a franchise, the B-Sides franchise is more aimed at community type of events where it's a very, very low barrier to entry. So it's typically $50. Well, it used to be mandated, it was only $50 for a while, but then inflation and all those other things kind of crept up. So for instance, here at B-Sides Melbourne, last year we charged $50, but this year we're kind of put in a position where we had to, you know, up it a little bit to I think it's $70 or so.
Yeah. And I've got to say, when I saw the price for $70 for 2 days, I thought I was seeing it incorrectly with my glaucoma eyes. I thought it was like $700, but it is $70 for 2 days. And I can tell you now, it's lunchtime at the moment. We're looking outside and there's people eating a variety of different foods, and there's lots of it. Obviously, the sponsors help with that. How does B-Sides attract sponsors? Do sponsors go to you, or do you go reach out to the sponsors? Do you know how that works at all?
Yeah, we definitely do both. Certain companies are really, really good. All they want to do is support the community. So if you have a look around at some of the sponsors we have here today, such as Deloitte, such as ANZ, such as REA Group, they reach out to us and they say, hey, how can we help the community? And we have other sponsors that, you know, we reach out to as well to say, hey, this is what we're running. We have a prospectus. This is, you know, the potential return on investment as well for you. But we make a concerted effort to ensure that we don't have your typical, hey, you have a booth, you have a 2x2 meter square kind of area in which you can, you know, spruik your wares. We strongly encourage you to walk the floor, to chat to, you know, the attendees and everyone involved, and actually be a part of the community. And you would have noticed in the opening that when Lydia was mentioning, saying we don't differentiate between anyone as an attendee, a speaker, a trainer, a committee member, someone that organises this event, or volunteer, we're all in the same level playing field as far as we're concerned, and we're all part of this community.
And that's right. No one's, you know, more special than anyone else. Yeah, yes, some may have a what's called a higher sounding title, you know, sizer or head of security, but we're all human beings. We're all equal. Now, here's a question for you. This is being held in the SEEK building in Cremorne, Victoria. How did you and SEEK get to be part of B-Sides?
Great question. So early on, I was having a chat with Lydia. So I used to manage a cybersecurity consultancy firm based here in Australia. It's no longer around. And I offered Lydia for us to run the Capture the Flag challenge, so I'll create the challenge and run it for them as part of a way to give back to the community as well. And then next thing I know, I slipped, trip and fell into organizing the conference amongst my peers.
Yeah.
You know, so we have Lydia, Vaughan, Brett and Kirsten as well. So next thing you know, I slipped, trip and fell into that situation, and here I am now. And when I joined SEEK about 3 years ago now, I went up to our executive and our CISO And I said, hey, I'm a part of this B-Sides Melbourne thing. Explained it. To be honest, our size knew all about it.
Yeah.
But explained it to our executive team. And they're like, how can we help? I said, well, we have this fantastic event space downstairs, which is specifically made for events. So we have massive screens. We have a big floor space, huge capacity. And I said, you can have that if you want. So fantastic.
Wow. Well done, Seek. That's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Another question I had for you is that, again, I'd never been to B-Sides before. I've been to 1,001 other conferences, but never B-Sides. And someone alerted to me to this year, and it was about 2 days after the tickets went up for sale, and I couldn't get in. It was sold out. Why is B-Sides so popular?
I wish I knew why. I think it's a great event. There's no secret sauce of you do X, Y, and Z. But I think we, you know, during the opening, we were slipping and tripping over ourselves when we were trying to present because, you know, a little bit dysfunctional ragtag group sort of thing. And I think that really talked to the culture and nature of B-Sides itself as well. And to be honest, on the selling out ticketing aspect, we're super fortunate to have Seek support us. We only have a limited number of capacity we can fit. And it's still a large space. We have 550 people here. But for us to kind of move to that next level, we're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars out of our own pocket to front up before we get the sponsors back. And it's not probably a risk we want to all kind of collectively wear at this stage.
Yeah. Look, I must say it's a great effort on your behalf and the committee. You know, Brett Williams and Lydia and Kirsten I saw, and there's others. Because you think of other big conferences in Australia and around the world, and there's a lot of people behind that. This is just collection of 5 or 10 people, and you've got a full-time job as it is in cybersecurity. So from everyone who's here, well done on your efforts there. It is really great, and well done for Seek for, I'll say, sponsoring the space. Are you, while you're here at Seek, are you going to try and keep B-Sides here, or at every 3 to 5 years, is it better to move to a different organisation for B-Sides, or got any thoughts on that?
Oh, we're trying to get an exclusive. So we haven't really talked as a committee fully where we're going to be running it next year, but I'm of the opinion of this works right now. It's a really good event. It's a great vibe. It's a really good community feel here as well. And if we're going to a vote, I'm probably going to vote saying we keep it at Seek. Seek is super supportive. They give us this venue for free, which they don't have to. So us trying to find a venue similar size or bigger, we're going to be looking at either increasing the ticket price as a result or requiring a lot more sponsorship. And if we require more sponsorship, there might be booths and those types of things. We just, at this stage, want to avoid.
Yeah. And I didn't realise actually how close it was to Richmond Station. I always thought, you know, Seek would be a really hard place to get to because I see it as I go past on the train every Tuesday morning. But, yeah, it's very convenient to get to and a wonderful workspace. And what else can I throw in? Yeah, I mentioned earlier the diversity of not just the speakers but the different rooms you've got. So listeners who aren't at B-Sides, they've got, you know, a small room, a large room. They've got a quiet room. You can just go in there, no music, no noise, just sit there and chill out. There's lock picking of all things. I remember when we were both at NAB, there was a group who were just fascinated with picking locks for some reason. But any idea how that links with cybersecurity at all? Or is it just a fascination you think most security people have?
I think I was one of those people back at NAB that had a fascination with picking locks. And I have a photo my wife has somewhere of me picking myself out of handcuffs behind my back somewhere.
Was that when you were arrested at some stage?
It's probably when I was under house arrest. I think it's just a really good entry point. It's a very tactile thing. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily need to know computers and programming and all these intricate parts of a system. Anyone can do it. And there's super easy locks. So, you know, the CyberCX team here have set up a whole lock picking village as well as a whole workshop to say, you know, if you're a beginner, if you're intermediate, if you're more advanced, here's what you can do and here's how you do it. And, you know, you and I are just literally looking at lock picking village right now. We see easy, medium, hard.
Yeah.
And some of those locks have a go at them because it might force you to change some of the padlocks or maybe on your shed or something like that at home.
Yeah. I've actually still got, I remember at NAB, a group of us sent away especially to the US to buy a special lockpicking kit. I can't remember what it cost me, but it'd be at least three figures. It'd be $100, $200. And I've still got it, and I found it the other day. And I thought, geez, I wish I could learn more about lockpicking. And I might actually go over that table and learn more about lockpicking. Do you know if it includes combination locks as well?
That's a good question. It's something definitely you have to ask the team there. But there's all sorts of techniques you can use, and I think they do have some combination locks there. We just see some normal tumbler locks. We see some normal padlocks. We see ones that look like front door locks as well. Yeah. And there's a session running, I think, in about 30 minutes that we'll talk through about the more intermediate level of I suppose, attacking locks.
Yeah. I think it sort of gets to the inquisitive mind of cyber people. You know, they want to solve problems maybe, and a lot of cyber people I know like to solve, you know, problems or puzzles. When they were probably 10 like me, I had all these puzzles, you know, you try and fix. And I've got to say, at the ripe old age of late 50s, I still actually like completing jigsaw puzzles because it's something to solve. So I think that's probably in a lot of security people, whether it's puzzles, picking locks, or jigsaws or whatever it is. Well, we've been talking for a while now. Lucas, have you got anything more you want to say about this brilliant event before we close off?
Just thank you for the interview, and thank you for coming along. And I just want to also thank every single person involved with the B-Sides Melbourne team. So we have many people from SEEK that help along. We have a fantastic group of volunteers. The committee is amazing. And what we mentioned during the opening, that it is a community event and everyone's equal and everyone's part of this community. That's something we want to kind of keep for the future as well.
Yeah, you're right. It's a great event. The people are great. There's no judgment. And there's some fantastic speakers, foods, and demonstrations. So after this, I might actually wander over to the lockpicking section and give it a go. So, Lucas, thank you very much for joining us on the Australian CISO talking about B-Sides Melbourne.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, folks, that's it. Pretty much hot off the press, given that B-Sides Day 1 was earlier today. I do mean to cover more of B-Sides, i.e. talk about a few of the presentations, but that'll just have to wait for another episode. Life is a juggling act. Until we meet again, this is Richard saying that he is totally besides himself after today's great security get-together. See what I did there? Anyway, look after yourselves. Bye.
This podcast is written, produced, and presented by myself, Richard Herron, and hosted on Podomatic. Any statements I make are my own or have been attributed to the originator. My personal views are mine. They do not necessarily reflect the views of my employer. Any views expressed by guests are their own and should not be associated with the organisations they work for. The podcast is recorded using Audacity, using a Rode Podcaster microphone. The music is provided by Pixabay. Their music is called Pluck Loop 91 beats per minute, and here it is for your listening pleasure.